seat.
Morning, everybody. Just want to say thanks for joining us for this session. My name's Mike Gibson. I'm the Director of Client Services for Trend Micro. Security is obviously top of mind for many organizations making that journey to the cloud, either, you know, whether they're in the planning phase or already fully into cloud adoption. So as a leader in security, we get included in many different conversations with customers about their cloud security strategy. And one of those customers is Maersk, and they were gracious enough to agree to come here today to share some of those experiences with you guys. And specifically, what we'll talk about is where the cloud journey begins. You know, how do you get into the cloud mindset? How do you learn to speak cloud? It is a little bit different than traditional, so you kind of need to plan that. Some of the challenges they faced and had to overcome during that journey or that transition, whether it be from even just the, you know, the lift and shift of the workloads or security specifically, and, you know, where security fits in that journey. How can they actually assess the situation, be able to properly evaluate traditional controls, look at the ways that they work, don't work in the cloud, and adjust accordingly. So with me from Maersk, is first off Anoop Chopra, who's the head of security. So Anoop, you want to share some words about yourself?
Good morning. So as Mike said, Anoop Chopra, based out of Maidenhead. I've been with Maersk for just over 2 years now. Part of the organization that I'm involved with is Maersk Group Infrastructure Services. Have the privilege to work with lots of very talented people, one of whom is Steve, who's with us today.
So yeah, good morning. Good to be here. I work for Anoop in the security team, part of Maersk Group Infrastructure Services. Again, I've been with Maersk for just under 2 years.
Awesome, thanks. So, we're probably most of us in the audience have probably seen the name Maersk on a shipping container somewhere, but Maersk is more than just the Maersk Line. So Anoop, you want to give us a little bit of background about the organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So, for those of you not familiar with Maersk, we've been around for over 100 years. We have a presence in 130 countries, a workforce of around just shy of 90,000. We're headquartered out of Copenhagen in Denmark, and the business is built up of around 8 core business units. So as you can see from the graphic there, the 8 core business units, we range from oil and gas and drilling all the way across to logistics and transport. Maersk Group Infrastructure Services, where Steve and I are, we're kind of in the center of that graphic there, providing services, an internal service provider to those core business units. Many different requirements coming from them, different agendas, but one that is consistent is that they want to take their businesses and into the cloud, and that's what they're looking for us to help and support with. So, as Mike has said, we're going to talk about our journey to the cloud, and we can kick into that. Oh.
It's not working.
It's not working.
There we go.
So that really happened around 18 months ago. So as any other large organization, we had a standardization and a modernization roadmap. We wanted to remove ourselves from our technical debt and our legacy infrastructure. And there was a lot of discussion around cloud, but we wasn't really ready to jump in until our leadership team went and visited one of our facilities in Asia. And that really was a catalyst for change. We had some real issues. And on the next slide, what I'm going to show you is real. It's something that they were faced with when they went to Asia and they saw the facilities. It wasn't acceptable on any level for our customers and for our employees. So if we can get the clicker. Okay.
Hope the battery's not dying.
It's a big build-up.
Hold on, I'll change seats.
Okay. So what you see there is real. That is one of our data centers and facilities out in Asia. Now, when you look at it, it's bad, and now you've had a few seconds to process it, it's really, really bad. The you know, fair play to the guys. They've made an attempt with the physical security with the cones, and I'm not sure what's happening with that lower picture there. Is that business continuity cable management? But looking at that, you know, the leadership team were absolutely right that this is not acceptable. We had to do something about that. We needed to do something quickly, and that was the catalyst for change. Now, I'm not sure. I hope that kind of situation was unique to us, but I fear maybe some of you guys or others have similar facilities, maybe not that bad. But
well, it definitely looks like my lab office at home. But yeah, I'd say that it's not, definitely and certainly not something that we as Trend would say is unique. We've come across situations like that, and certainly we don't see a whole lot of organizations looking to build massive data centers anymore unless you happen to be a cloud service provider. So it's not just you guys, for sure.
That's good to know. That's good to know. We no longer have this facility, so we're kind of pleased about that. But as I say, that was the catalyst for change. It was an inspiration to make this happen, to go into the cloud. So what we did, we sprung up a program, which was the regional infrastructure program. So you can see a nice infographic there, what we were going to do. So rather than just look at that one data center in the region, we looked at what was in that region. And it worked out there was around five that we could look into and rationalize what we're doing, decommission, remove that technical debt, and that legacy infrastructure. Many, many challenges, some are listed there. I think the key one for us was around the aging infrastructure and the unsupported hardware. Just as a show of hands, who still has 2003 on their estate? So we've got some honest people here, that's good. So there's some that have them. But the transition to the cloud, we was able to move that legacy straight, that 2003 operating system into the cloud, so it became supported. So that was one of the benefits there. But again, very challenging to do because it was live production environments that we had to move across. But immediately recognized and accepted by employees. And the way we ran this program was on three work streams. One being Azure production enablement, where we were looking to spin up the infrastructure, get the services in place. Then we looked at the application migration into the cloud, and then finally the operational readiness. Steve he enjoyed working on all three of those streams, and I'm sure he's happy to tell him some of his experiences there.
Yeah, sure. So of the three streams, I got involved with the actual first one of those, the enablement program, and it was really on the back of an email, someone saying, "Hello, Mr. Security, can you sign off this platform for use for us?" Prior to that, there'd kind of been no real engagement with our team, and you know, I had a lot of questions about you know about our approach and where we were going with the program. My knowledge of cloud at that time was probably pretty limited, if I'm honest. I mean, I've worked in for Siri many years. It's always been on-premise. It's always been traditional infrastructure. So cloud was something new for myself as well. So when I started getting involved in this, I was learning as I was going as well. But one thing I kind of took with it was when I was involved in those conversations, the overall impression I was getting was that, you know, actually we were moving towards Azure, and that move was, as Anoop's kind of described, would help uplift our estate. But there was also a kind of assumption from a security perspective that Microsoft were going to take care of everything for us. We would kind of not need to worry as much as we were on premise about the actual estate in the cloud. So for us, that was kind of a big challenge.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you, Steve. And you know, that kind of leads into the next section, which is really about some of the challenges and the details about the challenges you guys faced. And I think you mentioned this kind of informally, but really the shared responsibility model. And this is a pretty basic slide, but it's a conversation we find ourselves having with many different organizations, fully understanding what shared responsibility. Who's familiar with that shared responsibility model term? Excellent. So definitely being able to look as you're talking about, you know, on-premise versus infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and software as a service, the responsibilities of the cloud service provider and the responsibilities of the customer really change. And so you guys were really focused on an infrastructure as a service in your initial project. Can you share a little bit about how your exposure to the shared responsibility model, how you kind of went through the process?
I mean, I think when you look at that slide, right, so, you know, for the on-premise, you can see the responsibility. So if you take that bottom point around the physical security, you know, when you go back to those slides, we were responsible for that environment in Asia. Now, moving up to Azure, that was kind of taken away from us because that responsibility kind of now sits with the cloud provider. So when you look at Azure, the kind of certifications and that kind of stuff they have around their data centers is an instant uplift for us. So you know, there's the appeal there in that sense. But I think the pieces that we were missing maybe initially when we were looking at this is things around the host infrastructure, because, you know, probably this week you've seen many tools and parts of the kind of Azure portal, security center, and those type of things. When you look at that, initially the assumption is, well, that's going to take care of everything for me, whereas reality is it's not. You've got to kind of take some of that responsibility yourself as an organization and work with that as well. So
yeah, absolutely, and I think that's the part where customers turn to us to help kind of with that journey and understand where their portion of the responsibility lies. And you know, luckily, the cloud service providers are very, you know, helping educate their users about where these things shift.
Yeah, but they are definitely. But when you initially have those, so when you're working with people that have always kind of, again, it kind of leads on to about the mindset of things. It's kind of like you need to approach it and think about it slightly differently as well. You know, it's.
I think on this one as well, this is an interesting graphic, and what's missing here for me is if I take you back to the data center, there was no way, or there would be no way without investing a huge amount of resource to get any kind of level of compliance or assurance to validate that to our customers, to our audit departments, internal and external. But by transitioning into the cloud, overnight we adopt the security compliance and the assurance. We're now 27001 compliance, mm-hmm. All of the stuff that we inherit and take from the Microsoft guys. I don't know how many was at the keynote. Scott showed the video of what they do around the physical security there. We inherit that. That's part of the service that we take around the shared responsibility. So it is very much a benefit from going into there.
Absolutely. And then I guess another area that we definitely talk to a lot of customers about is really challenging the traditional models, the assumptions that they had for on-premise, and how those can be challenged when doing that shift to the cloud. Can you guys share a little bit about how you challenged those assumptions, and how you came to the mindset of being able to do so?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of hit a eureka moment, if you like, with the realization that we had to take responsibility for some of the stuff for ourselves. The traditional model we have, where, you know, which I was kind of familiar with, you know, a typical three-tiered architecture, we've got firewalls and IDSs and all these type of things within that infrastructure. You simply can't lift and shift that kind of blueprint into the cloud. It works differently. You know, you can try and squeeze it in, but then you kind of lose some of the benefits of moving to cloud. You know, when you're talking about being agile and that type of thing in the cloud, you can lose some of that. So I think you have to look at the kind of architecture and think about it differently. Think about different ways to solve the same sort of problems you've been addressing whilst on-prem.
Yeah, I think taking that clunky framework from the traditional data center model into the cloud, you benefit from nothing. You benefit from nothing. The model doesn't work. Those frameworks don't lend themselves to the cloud, and that's what you need to be working with. There's a lot of clever people out there. Yep. You should leverage them, yourselves included, the Microsoft guys. You know, you look at what they can do to help us to make that environment agile and efficient.
Yep. Kind of leads into, you know, the next topic of really getting into the cloud mindset, right? Working with vendors that have that mindset can share the vision that you guys have. What was the approach you took there?
So, I mean, with that mindset, I mean, it is getting your head around about, like I was saying, looking at the agility, the change, cloud changes fast. Whereas with, you know, when you look at a traditional approach, it's pretty static. You know, once you've built that infrastructure, it's pretty constant. You know, you have to water and feed it, yes. But when it comes to cloud, you know, as you've seen this week, there's so many new kind of you know, improvements, upgrades, new features always coming constantly. So when you're trying to kind of nail something down, you know, when you're working on it a month or 2 months later, there's additional features that you could use within the infrastructure and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's looking at that, I think.
I think also as well, it's for management. It's so we've taken part of the estate into the Azure. You know, they go and see what goes on in Redmond with the guys that are doing all of the red team, blue team, looking after the estate, looking at the threats and such things. But and they feel that we now in the cloud, we're delivered, we're secure. But there is still a lot of stuff that needs to be done on top of that initial fabric, and that's very. So you have to talk to them and explain that to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's very important to understand, like, cloud computing is a partnership, not just a partnership between your organization and, you know, the cloud service provider and Microsoft. It's a partnership between security and your application owners, right? Because it's so easy for users to go out and provision application services, networks, storage, all on their own that, you know, security can no longer be the gate, if you will, right? It's more like security needs to partner with those application owners and kind of set up the guardrails and you know, you don't want to slow them down, but you want to keep them on the road. And so that's definitely something that many organizations, I go into many large organizations, large enterprise organizations, and the first thing they say is, we need your help to get involved again with our applications because people are bypassing us and we're not doing it intentionally, but they always have seen this as a gate. And we don't want to be a gate anymore. We want to be part of this journey. And so they definitely turn to us to say, how can you give us a tool set, or how can you give us a framework to help us be part of that with our customers, or with our users, our application owners, versus having to always slow them down and get in the way.
Yeah, yeah. And it's about doing things differently, you know, as you're saying there, when you're looking at tools and that type of thing, you know. When you're trying to pull the way that you've always done something on premise, when you move to the cloud, there are probably better and more efficient ways of deploying tools. You know, Anti-Mail is a really good example. You know, we kind of initially looked at deploying it the same way we'd always done, but as on premise. But going forward, we can see that, you know, maybe we need to look as a software as a service kind of solution and use that for when we're deploying within the cloud environment.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of organizations begin with that infrastructure as a service and take the existing mindset of security and application deployment and bring it into the cloud model where perhaps if they took a step back, looked at software as a service, looked at platform as a service, they may be able to actually change the way that they operate and be a little bit more efficient. So on the whole topic of mindset, there's obviously a very specific area around learning to speak cloud and learning to speak cloud internally and learning to speak cloud externally with others. And how much of a challenge was that, not just for you guys personally, but for the organization?
For me personally, it was a challenge. I mean, first of all, just saying, see, I say Azure, I people say Azure. There's a whole variation there, but when you start looking at the kind of acronyms and that sort of stuff that exist within the cloud environments, you know, we have NSGs, VNets, and all these kind of wonderful acronyms. It's like learning a whole new language, and that in itself is a barrier, because not only for yourself in terms of understanding, but then when you're trying to communicate that to the wider audience within your organization, there may be terms that they're not familiar with as well. So it's kind of almost when you're learning, you're educating as well, you know. But there's lots of, you know, really awesome resources out there. You know, the Microsoft website is really great. It's got a lot of good information on there. And likewise, I personally used a lot of the Cloud Security Alliance documentation, which is out there. You know, that was really, really good as well. So there's stuff out there. And, you know, the other thing as well, when you're kind of learning, trying to learn this environment, is to talk to, you know, talk to your vendors as well. You know, these people are kind of, your vendors know this technology and where it's going. So you know, utilize that relationship you have with them to kind of gain a better understanding of these type of environments as well.
Yeah, if the first thing out of their mouth is, well, this is no different than on-premise, then you probably should be concerned.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that for me personally as well, learning to speak cloud, I remember, you know, back in 2008, 2009, I didn't see the difference. I'm like, oh, this is just a bunch of servers running somewhere that's publicly available. But then seeing the way that it evolved and the services, additional services outside of just the operating system or the virtual machine that are available and how networks are configured and basic things that we took for granted in our products about the way things communicate were no longer as easy. Like we couldn't figure out why the users of the solutions were having trouble in the cloud, because it should just, point A talks to point B, but when you add in networks and subnets and all of these things, and you're actually securing it at that layer, the complexity increases significantly, and you need to be aware, and you need to have solutions that can adapt to that. Awesome. So, you know, Anup, you mentioned, and actually, Steve, you mentioned Cloud Security Alliance. You mentioned frameworks, ISO 27001. What are some of the thoughts around how you had to move from those traditional frameworks, or at least augment the traditional frameworks with cloud frameworks?
Yeah, so internally within Merce, we use an internal framework. It's very much aligned with 27000, but it doesn't lend itself to the cloud. It doesn't. I mean, you can't invoke rights audit. You know, we can't go to the Microsoft guys and say we want to audit your data center. But we have. So Steve's talked about in the previous that is that we're learning cloud and we're learning the new environment, but we're still, the auditors and the compliance guys, they're still stuck in their traditional mindsets around their compliance framework. So they expect validation and evidence off those frameworks. So I think the key for us here is when we was working towards those frameworks and delivering those frameworks is to understand the intent of the control that is trying to be met. And working with the vendors, working with Microsoft and our own internal guys is how do we meet the intent of those controls using out-of-the-box thinking, innovative ways to deliver this, and then that is how we demonstrate that evidence to those auditors. I think the auditors and the compliance guys have a part to play in this as the adoption of cloud starts to grow even more rapidly than it is now, but they need to be looking at those frameworks and bringing them up to date so that we can satisfy our customers and partners that we are compliant as we would be, the exception being at that data center, in our other areas of the business. So it's really understanding the intent of the controls that we're trying to meet and delivering them a different way.
Yeah. You mentioned auditors, and I know that one thing that's quite different inside the cloud is really visibility and management. So how you can see the actual assets that you're trying to protect and get visibility into them. Anything you can share around that experience, Steve?
Yeah, in some ways it's better than on-premise with some of the tools we use, because of the way that the tools connect into the cloud, we can see pretty much everything there and there. It's very easy to kind of see what assets we've got created and in the environment. So, you know, in some ways we get better visibility that way. But then on the flip of that, they're, you know, sort of logging and that type of stuff, when you're using kind of some of the native tools, you might not get as much logging as you like. So again, you kind of have to think about it differently. How can I gain that, that type of logging? Do I need a different approach? So maybe it's more kind of focusing on the host itself to pull that type of logging, as traditionally it might have been, I don't know, a firewall or a switch or something like that, where we're getting the type of loggings from. So it's thinking about it differently.
Different ways to try to leverage as many of the existing services as that are available to you, versus again trying to shove traditional controls in there, or even traditional monitoring controls or logging capabilities.
And I think also key to this is understanding the roadmaps from who you're working with. because for us to deploy something, it may take us 6 months, it might take us 3 months, whatever it may do. But if you understand the roadmaps from your partners, they may be there before us. Mm-hmm. You know, they may be there before us, so we don't need to invest that initial capital if they're going to be there before us or at the same time as us, because then we're stuck with that solution for a period of time, whereas these guys are evolving and everything they're doing faster than what we can.
So designing to the roadmaps of the various vendors you're working. And how have you had a lot of success in that area?
I mean, even if you look at what we're hearing about this week, the number of initiatives and the number of roadmap items that Microsoft are telling us that they're going to be delivering in the next months and quarters, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. We can't. And that also goes back to the point around learning how to speak cloud. It changes every 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. It does.
But I think it's we need to work on those models a little bit more. But I think if you can nail that, then absolutely you're on a winner.
Yeah. So getting some visibility, events like this are great to definitely see what's coming, especially if you've got a project in mind where you had a vision, you were going in one direction, and then you hear about some new feature functionality that could totally change the way you were going to approach that.
And I think we've also seen a change that it's becoming very transparent and two-way conversations. They want our feedback. They want to see what our businesses need, and they would design their roadmaps or implement those changes to help us. So it's turned into a very much a two-way conversation, and everyone is being open and transparent in what they're needing to do.
Excellent. So if we dig in a little bit further around, you know, security, where security fits in, you know, what were some of the security essentials for hybrid cloud that you guys were looking for when looking for partners to or for organizations to partner up with on that journey?
So I think for me, when we're looking for partners, I mean, we're talking about hybrid, so what we have on-prem, you know, can that be extended out to the cloud environment? And given us that kind of almost single pane of glass, if you like, of the overall environment for us, so we can continue monitoring on-premise as we have. And with that familiarity of the product, also then look at the cloud options as well. So that was kind of important from an operational point of view in being able to get that kind of visibility.
Excellent. Anything to add in?
I think really it is education as well. It's having the right people. With the greatest respect, I'm not sure if the Microsoft guys know everything that's being delivered and designed around as you're at the moment. So it's education and it's understanding and having the right people in each of your partners. It's a governance model. So you have a governance model internally, so you know how those designs are going to happen and what that education needs. It's the right governance model with Microsoft, so if there are issues and challenges, you know the right people to talk to. It's the right governance model with yourselves. We work very closely with you. So if there's something that's not happening around the security essentials of how we secure our estate, we also need, we have that correct governance model with yourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think just adding to that as well, when we first started out with this, you know, we've got, say, multiple architects who are very experienced in traditional infrastructure and that kind of stuff, but not necessarily maybe cloud architects. And it's kind of making investment in those type of people and bringing them into the organization and helping us drive that forward, because they have a better understanding of that, of the environment and that sort of stuff. I think that's kind of key as well.
That's definitely a constant theme we hear inside organizations about trying to find skilled talent that can speak cloud, that understands cloud. And in your experience, were you able to find that in the market, or was it more invest in the existing resources and try to bring them up to speed, kind of like you guys did?
Yeah, I think we were successful in pulling people into the organization to help us with that. And I think there has been probably a lot of learning on the job, you know, even for myself. You know, I'm not a cloud security person as such, you know, but I've had to learn it and adapt my own skill set and my own knowledge to kind of understand that environment. So there's been some learning along the way.
I think for me, this whole cloud thing is awesome, and there's a big appetite for everyone who is in this IT environment and the security environment to embrace it and learn it. And as you say, you mentioned there's conferences, there's so many white papers and articles that you can learn from. There's focus groups and all this kind of stuff. So there's an appetite for the guys to be learning this and wanting to do this. They've accepted it's the future, and it should be embraced.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody needs to accept it. I know you mentioned the Cloud Security Alliance. Definitely great reference material there to kind of get grounded. Now, speaking specifically around looking at your environment, your existing on-premise, and then looking at the shift to the cloud, what were some of the controls that you knew just weren't going to work the way that they did natively? Obviously, network stuff is first and foremost, but were you looking at your existing IPSs, that type of, and then saying, hey, you know what, this type of approach would be challenging to create a bottleneck inside a cloud environment?
Yeah, and again, it's reaching that kind of balance. You know, you could take a virtualized firewall and place it up within Azure, for instance, but then in terms of what you're delivering to your business, in terms of that agility that we've spoken about and those type of things, it removes that. You know, and part of that is about cloud. You want to be able to be agile. You want to have that ability to scale fast and build fast. And, you know, introducing some of that takes that away. So.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, many people want to, hey, you'll just take a virtual, you know, our vendor says they have a virtual version of this. Let's go put it up there. But that creates a bottleneck that's going to, again, we talked about, you know, not being a roadblock, but actually just trying to keep people on the road, and that could be a big hindrance.
I think one of the things also that provides us with a level of confidence is that when the guys have designed their solutions, when they spin up their instances in Azure, we know that there's a minimum level of protection there with the agents and such things that you know, we won't have an instance up in Azure that doesn't have your agent on there to help us and protect us with the all the bad stuff that goes on. Yeah.
So do you feel that, you know, with the technology that we've partnered on or with other technologies that you're using and also the stuff provided by the Azure platform natively, do you feel like you've achieved parity in security when it comes to on-premise versus in the cloud, or even better?
Yeah, I think it's definitely on a par. I mean, you know, I think, as I say, it's a journey, right? I don't think we've got everything right first time, but we're now learning from kind of what we've done and what we're missing and developing that. And then some of that we can see coming down the Microsoft road with all the kind of improvements and everything that's coming along. And then, you know, Trend has helped us as well in filling in some of those gaps. So, you know, certain modules and that kind of stuff within the products where maybe we didn't need to use them on-premise, but within cloud, it gives us that... it fulfills that need that we have there. So, yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit on? Not that I want to turn this into a sales pitch or anything, but just elaborate a little bit on.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. So I mean, if we look at Microsoft's NSGs at the moment, they're not providing the level of logging that we would like in order for us to meet our internal framework commitments. So, you know, but we can enable that within Trend and get that detailed level of logging that we need. So it's just a different approach.
You talk a little bit about reporting inside of Azure and the logs and what you get with Trend, what you get with Azure. Is there any, can you tell a little bit about how you actually react to the events? Like, what are you doing post logging that would be relevant to security monitoring?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a couple of things. I mean, Microsoft have obviously got their own kind of security center, and there's a number of other different dashboards that are out there. For me personally, one thing I've been encouraged by this week is kind of the looking at potentially the consolidation of all these kind of different tools into one place. I would really love to have that kind of centralized dashboard as such for the environment. But, you know, we work with what we have at the moment. Trend has obviously got its own sort of dashboard that we're kind of using and responding to alerts and that kind of thing on as well. So, you know, and I think maybe when you look at it, it would be great to see vendors like yourselves working with Microsoft to kind of work towards these type of consolidated dashboards and that sort of stuff. So I know there's some integration with certain vendors at the moment within the Azure portal and that kind of stuff and via Marketplace and that sort of thing. Yep. But it would be great great if, you know, that will progress further, you know. And I'm sure it will come. It's just a matter of time, I think, you know.
Yeah, and some of our conversations we've had previously, you mentioned automation being important as part of that cloud journey.
Yeah.
How important, from a security operations perspective, is being able to automate tasks? And
yeah, I mean, I'm sure we're all very familiar with seeing tasks, you know, alerts and that type of thing within the environment. And, you know, if we're able to automate things, it makes life much easier. So, you know, if we're standing up servers and there's automation behind that to make sure that agents are on there, the security is out of the box, as soon as that is turned on, it's there, it's live. If we're seeing certain types of alerts, and some of this was we saw in OMS this week in some of the sessions that I've been attending, you know, getting automation behind alerts. If a particular type of alert is coming in, we can then start automating that and that type of thing. So I think automation will be a big thing going forward, you know, so creating those type of runbooks and that sort of thing for the environment.
I think on that similar topic, away from the security, I think the automation and the reduction in complexity is also a very easy business case to take up to the leadership. Mm. That, you know, we don't need to deploy, or we don't need to put change windows in place, and we don't need to get the guys going out and physically having to do this. It's automated, it's reduced the complexity. As Steve said, we have a dashboard. Our background is shipping. Our IoT love maps and charts and graphs. So we give them those dashboards, they can see what's happening in their estate and their environment.
Speak their language.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Excellent. And I know you guys also mentioned to me about like how you see Azure as a business opportunity moving forward for your next steps. Share a little bit about the vision.
Yeah, I think when we look at where we are now, so you know, we've kind of 18 months into this journey, we're still primarily using Azure ASM. We're looking at ARM and looking at incorporating some of the lessons we've learned from ASM into ARM to make those improvements. So again, it's almost like a greenfield site, you know, and from a security point of view, we can again try and get a better uplift in our security posture across the organization and that sort of thing. So, you know, I see it as a good opportunity in those areas, you know. And again, you know, with the physical security side of things as well that we saw earlier, that those type of things is a good opportunity for businesses in those situations to
I mean, some of the business opportunities that we've actually realized already is the data center. It is the removal of the 2003 estate,
yep.
The technical debt and the legacy infrastructure that's now gone. We, you know, if you don't need much more motivation, you're having short conversations with audit teams now. You're satisfying their requirements. There is confidence from your customers that's there, and all of these things support the. We've heard, I mean, Microsoft have put in a lot of money behind this. The numbers that have been bounded around this week, hundreds of millions in developing the technology and the security, working with yourselves around how to integrate. This is stuff that we as an organization wouldn't do. We're not an IT function. We're not an IT business. And this is where we need to leverage what we get from you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I guess it's just a coincidence there happens to be a bunch of containers here, but things like containerization and you know, leveraging platform as a service is kind of the next steps you guys are looking, your application teams are at least looking at to continue that evolution.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, that's the next step for us, yeah.
Excellent,
yeah.
Excellent. Cool, so just wanted to just do a quick recap about some of the topics we talked about. So obviously, knowing that security is your responsibility in the cloud, it is a shared security model, you can't just expect that the cloud service provider is going to take care of all of the security aspects. So depending on where you are between infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, or software as a service, you need to understand your roles and responsibilities. Microsoft has a fantastic white paper about shared responsibility available. So I highly recommend you can just do a quick search for that and track that down, or come see us after. I can point you in the right direction. But it's a fantastic white paper to understand where your role plays. Shift in just mindset. It's not just about, hey, we're moving our virtual workloads from on-premise to cloud. It's actually understanding that it takes time to learn about, especially if you're in a security team, learning how to be part of the journey and accelerate the journey versus actually being a gate in the future. And then the cloud moves fast. It's, you know, we talked about trying to learn the language. One of the hardest parts is the terminology changes, so they can actually rename features and functionality, and you're not just trying to keep up with new stuff, you're trying to keep up with the existing stuff. Microsoft hasn't been so bad. I know VMware's notorious for renaming things, but it's all fun. Perfect. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who attended. Thank you to the folks from Maersk, Anoop and Steve for joining us. On the way out, we are going to have a little card to pick up. If you want to stop by our booth, we're at booth 1810, and there'll be a chance to win if you just get a quick scan of your card, and you can see if you win something. And we'll be around the booth, too, if anybody has any questions, or you feel free to come up after the session, and we can talk some more. And here's just a few resources, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.